Probably about an hour, maybe at the most. Do you have...
No, no. Miss Donna? Oh, where are you?
Okay, so Faith is on now. So, oh, thank you. Yeah, well, I'll come over here and we'll share. Okay, I'll put that chair here. Sam Gano, what's the date today? October 19th? 1995, and we're here in the home of Mary Simpson, and we're going to be talking to her about the Depression, but also Christmas during the Depression as well, okay? So what we're going to do, Mary, is what we're doing is collecting people's memories, because we get, you know, a lot of the information we have about the Depression, about that time period, a lot of it comes from books. Not necessarily from people.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And sometimes people put their reminiscences and they're not, they aren't thinking about specific purposes in mind. So what we're trying to do is find out what the local experience was. So how similar was what happened here, similar to some of the things that were in the books and that sort of thing. Like a lot of the things about the Depression were written about the prairies, for instance, because it was so hard. Mm-hmm. And we don't have a lot of information about local.
Mine isn't local, you know, at least it's not from Navin, but
yeah,
it's from Prince Edward County.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I was born and raised.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Because it's an Ontario experience rather than a prairie experience. And it's probably going to be closer. If it's rural, it's probably similar to what happened here. And also, you're a resident here now. So that's important, too. What we're doing is we're putting the things together, all the information we're getting together, and we're using it to help set up part of the exhibit. So part of the exhibit will have, for instance, if somebody says, oh, I remember the Christmas I got, you know, a specific gift or whatever, if we have an artifact that we can use to illustrate that, and then we would put the person's comment in quotations with their name after it, you know, for instance. But that might not come out of your story. But what you're providing is a general sense of how things were that we can use to help give us the background for the exhibit, you know, basically. I'm going to be writing, looks like I'm going to be writing a story for the communique, and while I won't be naming specific persons, the sense of what I've gained from the interviews may come through.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
So I wouldn't be saying, Mrs. Mary Simpson of Navin said, da-da-da-da-da.
No,
it would be generalizations more than anything, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's, plus the fact that the tape becomes part of the collection of these kinds of things that we have at the museum that we try to do for specific purposes generally. We don't have a project where we go out and do tapes on a regular basis. Unfortunately, we don't have the time. But if
yes,
we could at least do some.
It was unfortunate that you never got going to Manson Walsh.
No, I know.
Because he had such dates and names and three generation owners of the farms.
Mm-hmm.
That's all gone.
Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah. And it's the kind of thing that is, it's hard, but there's only so many things you can do.
That's right.
You just can't. And we rely a lot on family to help out with that sort of thing, too, to try and do that. But if we don't have the volunteers to go, I mean, it's like a home support, too.
I know.
There's all kinds of things to be done. There's all kinds of work to be done.
They just can't do it all, and there's those of us that would like to be doing it, but we can't anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, okay. Now, I'll ask you two questions, and you can pick which one you want to answer. One is, what year were you born? Or, at the time of the Depression, were you a child, an adolescent, or a young adult? See, so you don't have to tell us how old you are.
Oh, I'm not, I don't mind, I'm 1919.
Okay, so you're born in
1919. I was racking my brain this morning to try to remember how old I was. I think I was about 9.
At the time of the Depression?
During this happened.
Yeah.
Now this, there's more things later I remember, but this one specific Christmas.
Yeah.
Is what I remember, and I think I was about 9 or 10. I wasn't any older than that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, because the tape will pick it up. And we're just taking notes for specific things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, first, it was about, I would say, the first part of December. We lived in a little place called Northport.
Okay. Okay, which is in Prince Edward County?
Prince Edward County. You know, Prince Edward County is the only county in the world that's surrounded by water.
Yeah. So, Peninsula or Nisswa's?
Well, it can make it big, windy on one side, make it fair on the other.
Yeah.
And we lived in a Northport. It was a small village, and there was a canning factory there,
mm-hmm.
which in that area at that time, Prince Edward County had at least 6 canning factories.
Okay. What were they canning?
Well, this one specifically was canning the tomatoes, peas, peaches, pumpkin, and corn.
Mm-hmm. So fruit and vegetables.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was a foreman of the canning factory.
Mm-hmm.
But during the winter, there was nothing. So therefore, that specific year, he made $4 a week. And I've often heard him tell many times that Isla, that was my mother's name, was so good that she was always allowed him to have his package of tobacco.
Was his allowance.
His allowance, yeah. And everything else that my mother made or baked or canned or everything.
Yeah.
And we lived in the village, and we had a shed right next to the... We were in the big house, so we were in half of it, and there was a shed next to it. And the neighbors around, and I was an only child, so therefore I had a big imagination. But anyway, there was a couple of boys came over to play with me. And they climbed up on top of the roof, the shed. They climbed up the logs that Dad had found there. And of course, anything they could do, I wasn't going to let them get up. So up I went. And on my way down, I fell. Broke my leg. And of course they didn't know it was broken then, but anyway, my leg was straight and my foot was off like that. Actually, it was that leg there. And my dad took me up to the doctor in Demarestville. And the doctor's name was Dr. Cryan. And mm-hmm. he was the only doctor for in that area at all. Mm-hmm. It was doctors in Picton, but not anywhere else. And he looked at it, and he asked my mother if she could hold me on her lap, and Dad was to hold my other leg. And he set that leg without any anesthetic,
mm-hmm.
because he thought that my leg was just, that had just slipped out of the joint, my foot.
Oh.
But anyway, he took me to Picton. He had Dad take me to Picton. Well, he went too. And they had an x-ray machine there, which was
brand new
at that time. And it was a huge thing. I could still see this great big arm coming down closer. And I could lay in there. It was just
that you didn't climb up those logs again.
No. At any rate, and he had put bandage around my leg, and there was a big safety pin in it. And of course, those days you took an x-ray and you had to wait.
Yeah.
3 hours, I think, or maybe it was longer.
Yeah.
And anyway, the technician brought the x-ray out, and again, this is a memory that's so vivid to me. All I could see was this great big long safety pin. It showed up on the x-ray.
Yeah.
And the doctor, the man, and I think he was called a doctor too, I'm not too sure, but anyway, he asked me, he said, "You're not sick today, Mary." No. And he looked at Dr. Crine and he said, "How come she's not sick? Didn't you give her an anesthetic?" "Oh no," he said. And the other doctor looked at me, and my dad spoke up and says, "Yeah, no, he didn't, but she certainly yelled." And he said, "Well, no wonder." He says, she's got 2 broken bones. My ankle bone was broke, and there was another little bone there.
Yeah. So they had to put it in a cast.
They put me in a cast from here to there, to my foot, right up. So yeah. I, of course, I was in bed and couldn't get out of bed.
Yeah.
And so when Christmas came, Mother told me and Dad that there wasn't going to be much for Christmas and we didn't have much money.
Yeah.
And one of my neighbors had brought me over, lent me a record, phonograph, you know, one with the round cylinders on it?
Yes.
And that's what I played, put in time with these round cylinders.
To amuse yourself. Do you remember any of the music that was on?
I don't remember the music, but I played a lot of it, because I think I had about, I think there was about 12 or 13 cylinders that I could play. Mm-hmm. And, but anyway.
So it must have been a small, fairly small.
Yeah, it was. It sat on the side. I had it, because it was this leg, and my bed was this way, so this, the front of the bed where everybody, this was all clear, so I stayed over on that side of the bed, and I had all this.
Yeah. And you can just wind it up.
I can wound it up, and I played these things. And I remember it was scratchy.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, it was something that I never seen one like that before.
No,
and you had
so
to
it was
crank
it. It was new to you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, but I think there was about 10 or 12 cylinders that went with it, and you just slipped them on. And,
yeah.
And, but during the winter, Dad, as I said, he made $4 a week.
Yep.
And he, every week, he went over to the canning factory where all the canned goods were stored with an inspector. And they had to go around and look at all the cases of, because there was all, and the inspector would bring out a tin of this and he'd bring out a tin of that. About three tins every time. And they'd open them to see if they were keeping all right.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dad could have those tins of whatever they were. And that was a treat when he brought this home. Sometimes it was pea, sometimes it was peaches, and other times it was something else. And it was it was really something.
Yeah.
And so Mother, as I said, Mother baked everything. She made everything we ate, butter and everything. And Dad cut my hair. I never was in a barber till after I got grown up. He did my hair because Mom didn't have any money to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so Christmas, before Christmas, Mother told me that there wouldn't be very sound, it wouldn't bring too much. But anyway, Christmas morning, on my bed, was a homemade nightie, flannelette nightie, and a secondhand doll that my aunt had sent, and two books.
Mm-hmm.
That was my
Christmas.
That was my Christmas present.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't ever remember feeling that I was deprived of something.
Yeah.
Because everybody else around in that, you know, they're all farmers and everything. All the other kids, they didn't have, some of them had a little more, but not. But I can remember this, Mother, when I wakened up in the morning, there was this.
Mm-hmm.
And some candy, and it was all homemade candy. Mother used to make this seafoam.
Oh,
Don't know whether you may remember that. Mother used to make great big platters of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Never, haven't seen it or heard of it for years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we had a goose for Christmas that Grandpa, they had, he raised geese, and they gave Mother and Dad a goose. But other than that, that's all, as I said, that was all I got.
Yeah. You don't remember what the books would have been, the names of the books?
No, but they were a series of girl books.
Okay, like the girls' annuals and those kinds of...
Yeah, there was a whole... Because I ended up with a whole lot of them. My Aunt Ethel from Belva, she picked these up in different stores, and she used to give them to me.
Okay.
When we used to go up to Belva, we used to go up and pick them from there at Belva via Demarestville with the buggy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, your dad worked in the canning factory. Were your grandparents on the farm? Because you said your grandfather raised the goose. Both sets of grandparents?
No, not really. My grandfather, Moon, that was my father's, he comes from Godfrey.
Okay.
And he had a very small farm, but his main thing was he made honey.
Oh, yeah.
He had about 100 or 150 hives of bees, and then in the spring he tapped trees, and he had he sold honey by the
pail
and also the maple syrup. He had enough trees. This is how he made his living.
Yeah.
Now my grandfather, yes, he was farming. He had a big orchard,
uh-huh.
and he sold apples. and cherries and gages and plums and grew tomatoes, acres and acres of tomatoes, mm-hmm. and acres and acres of peas mm-hmm. for the canning factory.
Okay.
And
they were probably, you said Booth, the surname? What was your grandfather's surname? Booth?
No, my father's side was Moon.
Moon, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And on my mother's side, it was Kennedy.
Okay. Well, it's a very old part of Ontario, as you
yes,
probably know.
Yes, it is. And there's very, I go out back there now, and there's very few farmers left.
Yeah.
It's all, it's, the younger generation didn't farm after. Mm-hmm. All small farms. I don't think there's anybody that had a farm any. They had 125 acres. They had it. That was a big farm.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, we lived with Grandpa Kennedy for quite a long time. But when this incident happened, we were in Picton, or in Northport, and Dad was the foreman there.
Mm-hmm.
He was the foreman that two canning factories there for years.
Okay, so the canning factory basically shut down for the winter.
Yeah.
Okay.
So oh yeah.
Laid off everybody.
And they just had a caretaker.
Mm-hmm.
To go in and check and see that everything, because in the spring then they would come in with trucks and carts to take the canned cases of whatever to stores and stuff. My dad did that too. He used to deliver them to Deseronto, the stores in Deseronto and Victor and Belleville.
Yeah, but they kept him on over the winter.
Yeah, he was one. There was only, he was the only one that they ever kept on.
Okay.
But unfortunately, all those canning factories are gone now.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's only one. Maybe if there is two,
mm-hmm.
I don't think so. I picked and left, but
mm-hmm.
at one time there was one at Northport. Actually, there was two at Northport and one at Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
None of those are there.
Well, they went to bigger companies, big companies like Heinz.
And then, as I say, the farmers.
Yeah.
We saw somebody the other day that I said every winter if we didn't have a barrel full of fish and salt brine and cucumbers put down the salt brine and sauerkraut below it. That was something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But your mother did all that. She was used to doing all that probably coming from the farm.
Oh, yes. She was raised in the farm.
Yeah.
But she wasn't mother. My mother wasn't well. She died when I was 16. She was only 36 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But she did all that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of course, she wasn't the only one because that's all the neighbors did that. And
Yes, we're finding that, particularly people who come from rural backgrounds, you know, depression didn't make that much of a difference because they were used to a fairly simple way of life to start with.
And everybody, if there was any sickness or anything, everybody came and helped. And
the health care costs when you broke your leg, there wouldn't have been any government help for that.
No.
So that would have been a financial blow to your parents too.
But I can't remember. I can't remember how they paid it. I know that they didn't. But again, I know that they didn't. The Dr. Crine didn't charge that much.
Mm-hmm.
But you certainly didn't go to him, unless,
mm-hmm.
or you didn't have him.
Yeah. Okay.
But because I know he never came to our place that I ever remember. But as I said, and then I had this cast on from here there for 6 weeks, and then he took it off and put on one from here
mm-hmm.
and down. And then I went back to school. But he always told me that I would limp all my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I did for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother used to sit at night and put my foot up on her lap. And she'd have this goose oil.
Mm-hmm.
You remember what goose oil smelled like?
No.
Well,
no. Goose grease.
Goose grease. But she would set my foot on her leg and she'd rub and rub and make me move my foot.
Yeah.
Now, nobody heard tell of physiotherapy or anything at that time, but that's what she did.
Yeah.
To keep me, and that's why I say today, that's why I don't limp.
Yeah.
Now, for years, if I got tired, my leg would seize up, and I'd limp for a while, then it would go.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what she did.
Uh-huh.
And now, who told her why to do this, or whether that was just something she thought of, I don't know. because, as I said, I walked on these crutches for I don't know how long, and fell off the stupid things.
Okay. Okay, do you have any questions, son? Just looking through our list to see.
But that Christmas, that year, I remember that, as I said, we had the goose, and we just had all our own vegetables out of the garden, because they can't, and that's very simple. We didn't go away for Christmas or anything, because with me in bed with this cast on, they
Did your family come over, like your grandfather?
No, because my grandmother, she had died of breast cancer, and she was in bed for years before she died, and they nursed her at home until she died. That's one of the things I felt, well, at the time, I suppose, maybe I didn't realize it, but I've never had any fear or any apprehension against death, because I seen my grandmother Kennedy die, and I seen my grandfather Moon die. He had cancer in the bowel, and they nursed him at home. And I was there with all this.
Mm-hmm.
I was with my mother when she died.
Mm-hmm. So it was part of it, your life.
It was part of
the
last 2 years that I went to school.
Mm-hmm.
We lived near the school, and my mother was in bed, and Dad put her bed beside a window, and he had a long string on the blind, and she used to have hemorrhages, and if she started to hemorrhage, she'd pull that blind down, and I'd see it at school, and I'd have to go home, because
mm-hmm.
we lived right near the school,
mm-hmm.
because there was just nobody.
He had to go to work,
and there's nobody else.
Yeah.
We didn't have any money to hire anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So,
then provide your own social service, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Going to the neighbors and playing cards and.
Yeah. Yeah. So this Christmas that you broke your leg was quite unusual in a number of different ways. Like ordinarily, you would have gone somewhere. For
Christmas? Yeah, we would have gone down to Grandpa's and Grandma's for Christmas. Grandpa,
okay.
Grandma Kennedy. Because my aunt Julia was still at home that time, because
mm-hmm.
She was nursing Grandma,
mm-hmm.
and so we would have went down there.
Yeah.
Mother would have taken stuff and things, but no, that year we.
Yeah, so it was an unusual Christmas in that way.
Yeah, and as I said, we were alone because they couldn't come because Grandma was in bed, you see, and they couldn't
leave
her. So.
Yeah. For the rest of it, was that the worst year of the Depression that you remember, do you think?
That's the only one that I
really sticks out
that
in memory.
Sticks out.
Yeah. And it's tied to the Depression, so you certainly feel that there was an association between.
Oh, yeah. And because, the things is out there, as I said, I can remember other people. I can remember two of our neighbors in the village of Northport. Two men committed suicide because they lost all their money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can remember those men just as plain as.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that was due to that they just.
Yeah. Couldn't cope.
And
it was well known in the community that this is why.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
That it was suicide and this was the reason.
Oh, yes.
For it.
Oh, yeah.
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 Huh. So you certainly saw the effect of the Depression in your community.
Oh, yes, yes, I did, because there just wasn't, as I said, there just wasn't nobody had any money. The farmers, and this is all the farmers in that area, this is where they made their cash crops
mm-hmm.
from these things they grew, and they never got paid until Christmas. And I don't understand why, but I remember this,
mm-hmm.
that the canning factory never paid them for their tomatoes. They got paid so much a bushel for their tomatoes, and they got so much a pound for peas. They weighed them, and then the corn by the whatever. They did not, came Christmas, and this is what the grandpa and them, I've heard them all say, that this is the money they had to live on till spring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So So that was their main source of income.
That was their main source of income, besides what on the farm and what little milk. Well, they didn't like they had cheese factories in there in the village of Northport,
mm-hmm.
and that's where the farmers offered their cream.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I said, this is what they lived on all winter, was the money that they got from their peas. And now Grandpa never grew pumpkins, but he just grew the tomatoes and the peas and the corn.
Mm-hmm.
Did the candy factory stay open throughout the Depression? Like, I know it closed in the winter, but I mean, did it diminish in productivity?
Yeah, there was two canning factories at Northport, and the one closed down because there just wasn't enough.
Nobody was buying enough
canning? No.
They were making
more. And this one canning factory, all they specifically did was peas.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just...
Mm-hmm. Not enough demand.
Mm-hmm. And as I say now, I regret some of the things that... was in my grandfather's home and stuff that we never kept. The butter molds and all these things. Because mother made butter. She sold it on Belleville Market.
Mm-hmm.
And she had one of the little mold things had a maple leaf on it. I can remember that. And she wrapped the butter and they sold it. And it had this little maple leaf on it.
Yeah.
Those things are all gone. I don't know where they went to. Being young, I...
Yeah.
Wasn't some of the beautiful hanging lamps in my grandmother's house. I have a picture out on the wall out there. That's one of my pride and joys, that then, those days, if you paid for your newspaper for 5 years, they gave you this picture.
Oh, really?
And I'll show it to you there in New York.
Yeah.
And, of course, I always had pets, dogs, cats, pet pigs, anything. It's a picture of a girl and it was a dog, and my grandmother always said that was me and my dog, and it wasn't. But I mean, this is what, because...
Yeah.
So I saw it when you came in.
Yeah, well,
that...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So your grandmother got this for subscribing?
Grandpa paid for the paper for five
see.
Years, and Kingston Week Standard.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was called.
Yeah.
And so they got this, and then they put it in a frame, and this was hanging in the front room, the front parlor.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my aunt tells me that I used to go and talk to this girl and stuff, you know how you do. And she saved this, and when I got married, she gave me this picture of grandma's. It was the only thing I have from my grandmother's house.
You were so close to the school, I'm just wondering, were you as close to the teacher, or did you give her gifts at Christmas?
Did children give her gifts at Christmas, or usually, during the Depression?
Yeah, we did. I think everybody gave her, handkerchiefs and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. That is if it was a lady. Now,
right.
I had more men teachers than women. I only had two women teachers.
And you didn't give gifts to the men?
I don't remember. That's one thing I don't remember. I do remember giving one of the lady teachers something that my mother
made.
Embroidery, on a runner for the dresser.
Oh, yeah.
My mother embroidered that because she could do that. There were so many things that my mother couldn't do that I remember doing that.
Okay, so that was common tradition.
Yeah.
So would you have given your parents gifts?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember.
Because
there was no... I can remember getting a quarter a week in the summer, and my girlfriend and everybody went to Picton Saturday night to get their groceries, and they visit, wander up and down the streets, you see, visit, and her and I would go to the show.
Mm-hmm.
We had this quarter. We went to the show, and then we came out and went across to the hotel, which is still there. And we got an Eskimo pie.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our treat. And that's what I got a week. Now, in the wintertime when it was cold, no, we didn't go. Because lots of times Dad went and got the groceries and stuff.
Yeah.
And but did you still get your 25 cents even
no.
in the depression?
Well, but if we went to town, but if we didn't go to town, I didn't get it. Oh, no.
Oh, you still got it even if we went to town?
No, just went to town. We went to town. And
even during the depression?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mother, that's what I say.
She made sure that...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And well, Grandpa Kennedy gave me lots of times. He'd slip me. I was the only grandchild for a long time. And, well, actually, as long as Grandpa and Grandma Kennedy was alive, I was the only grandchild.
Yeah, I'm just going back here. Okay, the Christmas dinner that you described where you had the goose said was really unusual because ordinarily you'd go to your grandparents.
Yeah.
And can you describe one of the, like a regular Christmas for us? One that you might have had at your grandparents? Like what would you have eaten? You said goose?
Yeah, that's the thing in those days.
Yeah.
I don't remember ever having turkey.
No.
At Christmas, other than the goose.
Yeah.
And as I said, this goose oil, and they kept this goose oil, strained it, thing, kept it. And if you had a sore throat or anything,
yeah,
you had a wool sock. Okay. They had, and they rubbed this warm goose oil on it and put it around your neck. Or if you had an earache, you put that. I remember I had an earache one time and crying and all at once it went bang,
mm-hmm.
and the stuff ran out of my ear and everything else. And the doc said afterwards they shouldn't have put this hot
mm-hmm.
sock with this on it. I don't know, but mm-hmm. I can remember that. And that was a game.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and I said we had. We just had the same, the goose, we just always had, all the pies that they made, mincemeat
mm-hmm.
pies, and ordinary vegetables. I don't remember any fancy
mm-hmm.
things like that, no.
Did you have a Christmas tree, like we went to your grandparents?
Yeah, and we always had one at home, but it was all the decorations on it was
homemade.
Pretty well homemade.
But mm-hmm. it was still decorated?
Yes, it was, and Mother, we had... That year, Mother had a little Christmas tree down in the room at the foot of my bed,
mm-hmm.
On
a table.
On a table.
Mm-hmm.
But.
And did you go to a church Christmas Eve or Christmas
no,
Day?
No, we went to church on Christmas
morning,
or if we went, yeah.
You didn't.
No.
Mm-hmm. Well, that Christmas that you went there.
No, we didn't go. But even then, we didn't go. We went to the Christmas. Before the Sunday before everything.
Yeah.
And I can't remember, maybe we did, but I don't remember having Christmas Eve services.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
That is Southern Ontario.
I don't think we did, but that I can remember anyway.
No. Do you remember the kind of decorations that was on the tree? You said they were homemade. Do you remember what they were?
Yeah, they were popcorn and papers. You know, round up and you
mm-hmm.
and there were some of the little doll things cut out of the paper thing that hung on the tree.
Oh, you mean like a paper doll chain?
Yeah.
Okay.
And also the little, they weren't cranberries. What were they? There was something, some kind of a fruit, a little thing that Grandpa used to grow.
Oh, a berry?
Some kind of a berry, and we used to dry them. Grandmother used to dry them, and then we used to put them on a string.
Okay. They looked like popcorn.
Yeah, but they were red.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe they were choke cherries.
Well, so I wonder if they were choke cherries.
They probably were, because we had choke cherries on the farm, and they dry these up, and then we strung them. Mother,
mm-hmm.
I used to sit with the needle and
mm-hmm.
string them.
Mm-hmm.
And that same winter that I had that, I...
made all the decorations in your bed?
No, I didn't, but spend a lot of time was carding wool.
Oh, okay. So you weren't idle in your bed?
No. Because Mother made quilts.
Oh.
And she had her own wool, and they had to wash it and wash it and wash it, and then they'd card it and wash it.
And use it for batting.
And use that for batting.
Yeah.
And the backs of the quilts were all the sugar bags.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they bought flour and they bought sugar and they bought rolled oats all in
mm-hmm.
big bags, the 100-pound bags. And the flour bags were the best for that. The sugar bags were finer and you had your underwear made out of that. My first brassiere was made of it. Oh, God.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, I said, everything was made or canned. It was very little.
Did a lot of that fall to you? I mean, we're off the topic here, but did a lot of that fall to you when your mother became so ill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can remember. And yet, as I said, I don't ever remember feeling that I was put upon because
no.
I had to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad used to have a box and I'd stand up on that and I'd scrub the clothes because I wasn't tall enough
mm-hmm.
where the two tubs were for the wash. Didn't have a wash machine or anything. There was two tubs set up on a rack or something. I can't remember what it was, but they were out
yeah.
in the outside kitchen, as we called it.
Yeah.
And Dad got me a box, and I stood up on that, and that's how I did the wash.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Yeah.
What about New Year's? We're talking a lot about Christmas. Did you ever celebrate New Year's in a big way? Or?
No.
No, it wasn't
no.
important.
No, it was. No, it was. I don't remember ever.
Everything.
Anything at all at that time, no.
Mm-hmm.
Did people in the neighborhood do it, or was it like mostly nobody did it?
Nobody. I don't remember any parties or anything
no.
like that at New Year's.
Yeah.
Now, they had a New Year's dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And,
was there a mass afterwards or before? Or not even?
You mean a religious service?
No.
Yeah. No?
No, not that I remember.
And there was no big decoration?
No.
Did you have, were there any other decorations other than the tree in the house that you remember?
Yeah, Mother used to have bells. They were folded up and
oh,
you
yes.
hung them in the windows. She had two or three bells hanging in the windows.
Mm-hmm.
They folded up and then you opened them up and fastened them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they were shaped like a bell and
mm-hmm.
she had two or three of those.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what was hung in the window.
What about, what was it decorated a lot for Christmas? Did you have a tree in the castle?
I don't think so.
No,
I don't
not even decorated.
I don't think so. I don't remember. I remember we always had a Christmas concert.
Mm-hmm.
We had to practice and have that, and then some.
And the whole school participated.
Yeah, and one of the schools I went to didn't have an organ or piano or anything, but the one at Northport specifically, this one, they did have somebody gave them an organ,
mm-hmm.
an old organ that
awesome.
You pedaled, yeah, and but we had the concert at the school. Now, I remember one year we had a Christmas thing, but they had a special one, they put it on in the church. But that wasn't, that was, that year was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah. Actually, we're doing something similar at the museum where it was this one year, it was Christmas, because they're putting a play on for them, the Christmas concert, school concert.
Yeah, well, we did, as I said, and everybody participated. Everybody,
yep.
whether you could, like, of course, again, they had all the grades. They weren't
mm-hmm.
called, they weren't grades. It was first class. It was primer, first class, junior, second, senior, second, all up to, you know, you just didn't. And a lot of the schools, if they had a teacher that had enough education, they taught what we called the fifth form, which was the first year of high school. And that's where I got, that's all the high school education I got because of Mother. Because
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I couldn't be away
from the house.
Wait, and then when she died, I was 16, and my father was I wanted to go back to school, but my father didn't have the money to send me, because I would have had to go away from home.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, girls got married anyway; they didn't need
yeah.
an education,
yeah.
you know.
Did your father work at the canning factory for most of his life?
Yes.
Okay.
He did some farming, but most of our, I remember, because he left after Mother died, we left there and we went down to Godfrey.
Uh-huh.
And he worked with his brothers in the mill down there, and they made cheese boxes. Remember
oh, okay.
Yeah, well, that's what they made there, and he
okay.
worked for until he got another job in the candy factory at Napanee. And I had really went from there.
Hmm.
So,
okay. Did you know, do you know if there was any, like, was there any, did you know about relief at the time? Do you know if there were any families in your community that were on relief?
There was a few in Picton.
Yeah.
But, it was something that, well, if you didn't, if you had to go on relief, you were really,
mm-hmm.
you weren't really, they were low, you can't, I don't know why, but that.
They were low, you
yeah.
know, the assumption was that they were lower class people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, as I said, I grew up in my family. My father and mother was never very religious, very strict, but all the neighbors around, again, this religious bit, I look back and I think on it, I often remembered I started going out and, you know, you're chum around. And there was this nice boy, I know he's very nice, but he was Catholic, and I'm telling you, it was just awful. My father just did not. It was, you know, it wasn't like you could.
It was really discouraged.
Oh, my land sakes. And I kept looking and trying, I still remember thinking, well, what's different? There has to be something. I couldn't figure out what. I mean, I thought they looked like we did. And
he didn't sprout horns or anything.
No, and I just couldn't. And it took me a long time. Well, I guess I was
yeah.
probably 16 or so before I figured out that there wasn't anything different. They were all the same as us. And that went by the board. You were friends with everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
yeah, well, attitudes have changed a lot.
Oh, land. But those days, yes, it was very distinct.
Yeah.
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 And the different religions.
Yeah. Did the church help out with people in the community who were in pretty bad
That place? I don't remember.
Yeah.
All I do remember was that once a month, the minister landed at our place at mealtime. That's true. They
yeah.
and they made a point of it.
Yeah.
And you'd have to feed them. And like I often said, I can remember that he got the best of everything and the rest, you know.
Yeah.
And all the farmers, and of course, again, they must have had it hard too, because they didn't get much salary. But all the farmers had to give them
yeah.
potatoes and all
yeah.
their vegetables. And Grandpa used to give them a barrel of apples and. Because he had an apple orchard and he saw
yeah.
and things like this, and this is how they, again, got their
survived.
So
So the minister himself wouldn't have had much money
no.
in the small community.
No, because there wasn't any money.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
So you don't remember sort of anything organized in the community, like I think of home support here and different things where the community has really
no.
got involved. There was nothing
no.
at that time.
Now there was. The only organization that I can remember was the, what was it called? It was the United Church Women, but they weren't called United Church Women then.
Yeah.
What were they called? And then there was a junior one, a girl.
Mm-hmm. Okay, like a women's auxiliary almost, a church auxiliary.
Yeah, it was just strictly for the United
yes.
Church Women. Because that at Northport, that's all there was the United Church and the Pentecostal. And
mm-hmm.
then in Picton, of course, they had the Catholic churches and everything.
Yeah.
But right in Northport, and that was all there was.
Yeah.
There wasn't an Anglican church or anything there. It was just, they were all United Churches.
Yeah.
Of course, that was United Empire Loyalists.
Yeah. Yeah.
On my grandfather's farm, there was a cemetery.
Loyalist Cemetery. Yeah.
I used to play in it.
Yeah.
And for years and years, it was just nothing but burdock and weeds and everything. But during the centennial year, they cleaned it all up, and the stones that were halfway, they made a big mound.
Oh yeah.
Put it there.
Yeah.
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 And that was neglected for years and years and years and years.
Yeah. 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 Huh.
And you said that you had a Christmas tree in your house. Did you put the gifts? But then you said that the gifts are on your bed. And
yeah,
your
that well,
that
I, and other years, work. Yeah, they, my stocking would be hung at
okay.
the foot of my bed, like other years.
Okay.
And then you go down and have your tree, your presents under the Christmas tree.
What was in the stockings? Candy?
No, there was just a few, probably a pencil, and some of the seafood that Mother made up. And probably an orange now. That again was a treat, I'll tell you, to get an orange. You didn't have all this fruit and stuff. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't even buy it, that's all. And if you, in the summertime, if you had homemade ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. What was under the tree?
Yeah.
I think that's just about it. Is there anything else you can think of?
Well, especially that year, some of the other things that I did are happening along my life. Wife, but
we'll save that for another visit.
I think today, the younger generation has no idea what. And it's our fault that we didn't teach them that to make do, or do without. All my clothes were made at home, or hand-me-downs. Down on the Bay Quinte, down at a little place called Somesville, there's farmers there that they had cottages on their farm. And they had this couple that came from New York in this big car, and of course we thought they were millionaires. I'm sure they weren't, but we thought they were. And every summer when they came, she brought me clothes. And she, even my dad, this man bought him a suit because they never wore it. And I thought I was at the world by the tail every time they bring this box of clothes. And I was big. When I was 9 and 10, I was taken for a 14, 15-year-old. So that I was, you know, bigger than the average, taller especially, because my mother and dad both are over 6 foot, you see, so I'm not. That was a wonderful treat to get these clothes.
Yeah.
I thought I was really dressed up.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And as I said, Mother made my panties, my slip, and my brassiere out of the sugar bags.
Mm-hmm.
They bleached them. She made their own soap. That ate your hands up when you. That lye and stuff. She had a great big copper pot of that big, and that's what she made the soap. Well, I had to do it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the brown sediment in the bottom of the pot, it would settle. That was, you rub that on anything that was dirty, really dirty, and that took the, I suppose too, it ate clothes right out, I don't remember, but I mean, because it would bleach them right out, and then you laid them out under the snow in the wintertime to dry.
So you didn't hang them up?
Some of them.
Yeah.
But that bleached them.
Yeah.
Bleached them.
Huh.
And, like I said, talk about you. When you got a little older and you had your menstruation period, you didn't have pads those days. You
had the
rags.
Belt.
Old torn up sheets, and your mother cut them to a certain size and you fold them. That's what you wore. You I don't remember ever hearing about any pads or anything that you bought.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then you had to
wash
them.
You had to wash them and use them again.
You're the second person who's told me that too.
That's what you had to wash. You soaked them. They got soil, you kept a pail, coat them in the shed, and you put them in this water, soaked them, and then you washed them, and used this soap that was the bottom of the pan to keep them clean, and then washed them and used them again. Maybe they had pads in the store, I wouldn't know, but I never was.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. I don't think they would have.
I don't think so.
Interesting. Well,
Times
have changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why we have such a different
thing. Well, that's it.
Show them how to do laundry.
Yeah. And I would say that probably the year after Mother died, I guess Dad bought a machine, and it was one that you pulled like this with your hand, and it went around and around, and it this way, and that way, and that one. It was a round one.
Yeah.
And the handle's on the side, isn't that?
Yeah, we have one too. Mm-hmm.
And as I said, I wish I had for that, and the butter churn.
Yeah.
And the honey thing.
Honey pan.
The great big round thing for the cones in. I used to have to crank that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, to take the honey out and then you extract it.
Extract it with a big. Yeah.
So you remember doing all that?
Oh, yeah.
How did you bleach?
Well, you boiled the clothes, and then, as I said, you soaked them, and you put this. The bottom when you made soap, Mother made it in a great big cast iron pot she had. Oh, I could never lift it. But in the bottom of it, there was sediments in the bottom of it, and I can't remember. There was the only thing I can remember that was in this stuff was lye.
Yeah.
Now what else? It was the grease from.
Whatever.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. They kept they never threw out any grease or anything.
They kept
everything. And, it was the soap. This is what the soap was made out of.
Yeah, the fat, yeah.
But what it settled in the bottom, that was the best thing for to rub on stains and stuff.
Yeah.
And then you put it outside and hang it up with snow and what have you. And you boiled it. I had a great big boiler. Put it on the stove and close it and that, and you boiled them. I mean, now you literally boiled them.
Yeah.
And I would just kill all the germs.
I killed all the germs, but there's a way to get some things.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of the things that I can remember, fish soup. I can't imagine eating fish soup now, but it was good. Of course, it was made, as Grandpa said, Grandma said, Julia's mother always skimmed off the cream. And made this fish soup.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, in the fall, they had nets and they went out and they caught whitefish.
Mm-hmm.
And then they cleaned them and they put them in these barrels, in these great big barrels. And you bring out, if you decide you want fish, because you couldn't do it today, you'd have to think, well, tomorrow I'm going to have fish. Take out the fish and put it in the water, keep changing the water all day and all night.
Yeah. So was it dried fish or just in a salt brine?
It was in salt brine.
Okay.
And then Mother would put it in the oven, bake it. Now, I don't know what else, like that, again, I can't remember what she put on it or anything. But what was left over, she'd make fish soup out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was onion in it, and she made potato soup. We ate potato soup a lot because, it was cheap. I can't imagine eating fish soup today. But maybe it was like fish chowder, they call it today. I don't know, but it was.
Well, if you use cream in it,
it was cream in it, and there was onion in it too, and whatever slight seasoning. I don't remember, but No, we didn't have. If anything bought, and you got anything bought, and it was
the exception.
Very, very strong exception, because I don't remember ever having a bought coat until maybe I was 15 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in those days, summertime, you helped outside. Grandpa used to, you pick tomatoes, you pick them by the bushel, and Grandpa used to pay me. So much for picking a bushel of these tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I got older, I worked in the can factory, and you got paid so much pail for peeling.
Mm-hmm.
The same as the peas, you had to start all the peas.
Mm-hmm.
Peas going by you on a belt. And that peas, once they were cut, so the inspector would go around to the farmers and say, well, that field is ready to cut, and you had that mail. They had to cut it. Bring it to the gang factory, and it had to be done then. Because peas fermented overnight. Sometimes you'd be working all day, 24 hours. Dad would work 24 or 48 hours right around the clock, never come home, to get these peas done.
Yeah.
And the women that worked you'd be sitting there, and as I said, your head would be on because you had to watch as these peas went by. They'd pick out the burrs. And those burrs had, some of them were little green things, they looked like peas. Because if they were, where they were making first class choice peas and tomatoes and stuff, the tomatoes they did for first choice, they weren't put in a bucket and sent around that people peeled. They were set in separately, and you picked out one tomato and put it, did it by the side, and you didn't do it. The rest of the tomatoes that the women were peeling, you did it fast.
Yeah.
But when you were doing up, they had to, the canning factory always had so many cases of first class. Well, they all, you got paid by the hour for those, because you had to take your time and make more whole tomatoes.
Yeah.
So it was in that tin. That was the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never forget when they brought peaches down from up country to do. And they told us you could have all the peaches you want to eat. Well, this is wonderful. 3 days later, peaches. They tasted just horrible.
Yeah.
But if they'd have told us not to eat them, we would have been nibbling and nibbling all along. But they ate, we ate, like whatever it is, and we just couldn't eat. Oh, God, I can remember that. And then again, there was a piece, you had to do some half whole peaches that were. Half peaches, you see, those were first class. They were graded first class, so they were done slowly, where the others, some of them were sliced and whatever.
I grew up in the United States, so I know what you're talking about. I picked a lot of food.
Gosh,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's great, Mary. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Well, I enjoyed it because I like talking. I get sometimes get talking and quick talking.